Now, how big is this Great Pacific Garbage Patch? Do we know exactly how big it is?
Well, it has been well mapped recently, and they do this by doing aerial surveys, but also having on-the-ground transects whereby they go through with trawlers sieving the thing, because some of it's visible, some of it's beneath the surface. And they've said it's twice the size of France, which reckoning is 15 times the size of Tasmania.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good way to measure it, I suppose.
That's horrific. How does all this waste end up in one place? How does it all kind of make a big patch?
Well, the surface of the ocean is composed of these giant swirling gyres, big circular things that go over the North Pacific, the South Pacific ones, some Atlantic, some Indian Ocean ones. And so you can imagine if you've ever swirled, done that thing in a swimming pool where you all run around in circles and make
yes,
a whirlpool.
Yes,
I've done that. You find that all the junk in the pool accumulates in the centre.
Okay.
So it's basically the same idea. So, you know, it sort of accumulates this stuff in this huge area.
Now, we've recently learned that the Great Pacific Garbage Patch is 16 times bigger than previously estimated. How did we get it so wrong? How did scientists, you know, underestimate it by such a huge amount?
Well, it's got bigger. That's one of the things. That's the one. You know, firstly, I think they're probably measuring it a bit more accurately now, and because it's so important. And secondly, it is actually getting bigger. And you know, the fear is that the increase of in production of plastics is going up exponentially too, and it all ends up as waste in some form. And so, you know, it's not that we got it so wrong before necessarily, it's getting bigger.
Gosh, that's terrifying to think that it's growing so so quickly that, you know, it's now 16 times bigger than we thought.
Well, it all in.
This is insane. Now, do we know where a majority of this plastic is coming from? I guess it's kind of hard to track when you're looking at how enormous and expansive the ocean is.
It is, but there's a bunch of plastic forensics people, I guess you'd call them, that can track things down. And we've done a little bit of this in the past ourselves on a much smaller scale. And, of course, you know, bottles and things often have the maker on them. They can source a lot of the plastics. And, you know, a lot of the plastics are coming from places like China, but that's not to say that they're not being, they haven't been sent to the US or Australia, and we're the ones that have discarded them. So there's those sorts of plastics. Also, they found nearly 50% of the macro volume, or the large amounts of the stuff, were fishing gear. That doesn't surprise me. I've been to very remote islands in on the Great Barrier Reef, for instance, and on the edges of them, you often find a huge amount of fishing junk, massive nets that have probably been ripped off in storms and large satellite buoys and things like that. And, of course, just locally, we do a lot of our surveys in Sydney and Sydney Harbour, and there's a lot of fishing gear from recreational fishers there. So that doesn't really surprise me.
No. So what does this meaning for the marine life, especially, I guess, in the vicinity of the patch? Are we seeing a decline in the marine life in the ocean ecosystems there?
Well, that's a very good question. There's a big decline overall, and that's due to massive large-scale overfishing. We know that some of those plastics have a devastating effect on wildlife. The macro, we'll call them macro plastics first, the big things in plastic bags and bottles and things like that, are known to affect a whole range of different fish, turtles and things. Sometimes they're mistaken for food, other times they clog up gills, etc. But it's another sort of plastics that we know less about called microplastics, and these are little fragments, less than half a millimetre. Some of these are just the breakdown products of the big plastics. Others we put in our products, like most shampoos, a lot of them have these micro beads in them. And these, I think more people know about these, used as a lubricant, and they really just persist in the environment. And not only do the fish and things get those in their stomachs, but they also, the micro beads also suck up things like heavy metals, so they come along with them.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Okay. So this is a lot more of an expensive problem than I think a lot of people do realize. How do we resolve this? How do we fix this? Because something that's, you know, 15 times the size of Tasmania is a pretty big problem to tackle.
It is, and it's global and local. You know, like climate change, global warming. You know, a lot of people go, "Oh, well, it's the globe. What can I do?" But you know, really, there are. You know, it all starts at home in a way, and you know, what a lot of good people are doing with recycling. First of all, don't use it in the first place. It's always the best thing. Recycling is the next best thing. So things like replacing plastic drinking straws with metal. We do a lot of work on the impact of cigarette butts in the marine environment. One of the things we've been shown by Clean Up Australia is they are still by far the most prevalent litter item, and they're mostly plastic.
Wow.
So, you know, think about where, if you're disposing those. You know, there are many actions you can take locally. Australia has a litter policy, various litter policies. Some states have plastic bag laws.
Mm.
Shopping chains have plastic bag laws and things like that. So these are all still helpful. You know, one shouldn't get frustrated. It's a global problem. We're not going to remove the garbage patch overnight, but, you know, I think just got to keep trying.
Are there efforts being made to clean it up at the moment? Are people out there with, I can only imagine, like big nets trying to scoop it all up?
Yeah, well, you know, the technology helps a little bit here. They've got these almost automated machines that go by scooping it up, and they can do, you know, 5 tons a day or whatever in the very concentrated areas.
Mm.
But, of course, those microplastics don't get picked up by those. So the big fishing net things, there's a bit of a chance that they could be partly cleaned up. Although the worry is that, you know, they're being produced faster than they can clean them up.
Yeah.
And someone even said that there's going to be more plastics in the ocean than fish by 2050. They made some estimates.
Yeah, that doesn't seem unrealistic, which is really sad.
Fish are going down and they're going up, so they've got to move in the middle somewhere, don't they?
Exactly. Professor Booth, we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks for joining us this morning.
No problem. Thank you.